Look with me, please, in Genesis chapter number 43. I have been telling you for quite some time that Joseph is the main character from 37 to 50. And we've been looking at Joseph, and you can say this out loud. Joseph is a type and a picture of, there we go, Jesus Christ. So, and that's, he's a beautiful picture. Most Bible teachers will tell you he's the most clear, but no type is ever perfect. No type in your Bible of anything. They represent him. They show him. There's types of other things in the Bible, not just types of Jesus. Any type is eventually, sooner or later, gonna fall apart. But Joseph, you have to look long and hard before there's any misgiving about him being a type of Jesus. He is an incredible picture of Jesus Christ. So that's what I've been looking for. And I got to chapter 43, and I'm reading, and I'm studying, and I'm praying, and I'm reading, and I'm studying, and I'm praying, and I'm meditating, and I couldn't get a hold of it. And God said, "You're looking so hard at Joseph, you're missing who I wanted to get the spotlight in chapter 43. And in chapter 43, it is Benjamin. It is the baby brother Benjamin. Every page in your Bible, every character in your Bible is there to point you to Jesus. And let me tell you what God did in chapter 43. Joseph, just like Jesus, came to be a humble servant. Jesus came to be a humble servant. We'd all do well to learn how to serve. Joseph is more than willing in chapter 43 to just take two steps back and let the spotlight turn down to the baby brother Benjamin. And there are so many pictures of Benjamin as a picture of Jesus in chapter 43. And Joseph, you're going, well, what about Joseph? What do we do with him? He actually, in this chapter, is elevated, if you will, to that picture of deity. Jesus is certainly deity, but Joseph is elevated to a clearer picture of the Godhead, and Benjamin again takes the spotlight as a picture of Jesus. So I'm going to refer to him as Benjamin all the way through, but I want you to know when I say you need a Benjamin in your life, what I'm saying is you need Jesus in your life. You need him in you, on you, around you. You need to wrap your life up in Jesus Christ. And I want you to see the blessings that come from being wrapped up in Jesus. Let me use as a text verse, verses 33 and 34. This is a meal that Joseph has prepared for his brothers. And I want you to look. And they sat before him. They, the brothers, sat before him, Joseph, the firstborn, according to his birthright, the youngest, that would be Benjamin, according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. And I'll tell you in a few minutes why they're marveling, okay? Verse number 34. And he took and sent messes, that is servings, okay? We've all had meals that look like messes, okay? It's not an unusual phrase. If you were in the military, you ate in the... Okay. And normally when we finish a meal back here, it's a mess, okay? I don't like it to look like a mess when we start, but it's okay if it does at the end. And if you got grandbabies, you know all about that. Somebody help me right there. We ate at Cracker Barrel yesterday morning, and I had to clean the floor before we left, and they were like, that's really what they, you know, they know that people with bad. I said, I can't leave that mess, okay? So you should have seen me on the floor wiping up Willow and Berkeley's mess, okay? So they got messes, and Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs, and they drank and were merry. Okay, let me give you, let me lay a little bit of groundwork, and then we'll get right into the message. If you'll remember in chapter number 42, the brothers have got hungry and they've said there's corn in Egypt. They've come to Egypt. They get ushered into Joseph's office and he recognizes them immediately. He's been gone since he was 17. He became Pharaoh's right-hand man at 30. 7 years of plenty have passed. They're now a couple years into the years of famine. So he is at least 20, probably 22 years older than he was the last time they saw him. So he's matured. He was a kid then. Now he's a grown man. He looks like an Egyptian. They look like they always did. And he remembers every one of them. He remembers, you know, he suffered quite a bit at their hands and they made quite an impression upon him. They don't recognize him. And so he's speaking through an interpreter. But in chapter 42, the brothers are treated as spies. The brothers are treated as spies. One of them is actually locked up. It is not a good scene at all. He locks all of them up. Then he says, no, I'm just going to lock one of them up. I'll let the rest of you go. And you remember what went down in chapter number 42. Well, we get to chapter 43. They're back home and they get hungry again. And they say, Dad, we need to go get some more corn. And he says, but they said, when we go this time, we got to take Benjamin because that leader over there in Egypt said he wouldn't even talk to us if we didn't have Benjamin. He says, you're not taking my son. He said, I've already lost Joseph. I've already lost Simeon. You've left him there in Egypt. He said, I am not losing another son. So they wait as long as they can. They said, Dad, if we wait any longer, we're going to die of starvation. He gets frustrated and he says, why did you even tell him I had a younger son, one younger than all of you? They said, we didn't offer it. He asked. He said, is this all of you? And how is your father? And is there a brother younger than you? And all that just went right over their head. And there was no reason for them to pick up on what he was doing. And they said, he asked us about a younger brother. And so he said, finally, he realizes, okay, I don't like it, but I'm going to let you go. So he lets Benjamin go. And they all go to Egypt. That's where we pick up in chapter number 43. But I want you to see what is going on in these men's lives, but only because they have a Benjamin. And I'm going to say this. I'm just going to say it with each point. There are things in your life you're never going to experience unless you've got Jesus. You can live your life without Him if you want to. You are doing what I preached about in the 9:30 service. You will be living in disobedience to Him and His Word, and you will never prosper. You need a Benjamin in your life. You need Jesus in your life. Look in chapter 43, verse 3b. Let me read the whole verse. And Judah spake unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, you shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. Joseph represents deity. Joseph represents deity. He said, the only way you're going to see my face is with that brother. Look at 5b. If thou wilt not send him, we'll not go down, Dad. For the man said unto us, ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. This deserves the most powerful delivery you've ever heard in your entire life. The content is so overwhelming. The first thing I want you to see in 3b and 5b is this. Jesus in your life is your literal passport to deity. That ought to be a message. That ought to be a series of messages all in its own. And all I am able to do is stand here and tell you that without Jesus in your life, you will never be ushered into the presence of deity. Amen. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Your good works, your money, your kindness to each other, nothing you could ever offer Jesus would allow you into heaven. It is the presence of Jesus in your life that allows you entrance into heaven. And not just heaven down the road somewhere when you pass, but as we've testified and sung and cried about this morning, His presence in your life today is because of Jesus with you. I'm glad that Jesus is going to get me into heaven, but Jesus gets me into the throne room of God today. I go in His righteousness. I can get up, pray, be kind to my wife, read my Bible, pray again, and let me tell you something. And before I walk out the door, if no other sin has beset me, you know what I'm liable to be dealing with after that good of a morning before I walk out the door? I think you just said it. Pride. The Bible says the plowing of the wicked is sin. When you are away from God, everything you do is an affront to a holy God. Why? Because we're full of ourselves. If you're better than that, pray for me. But if I had the good morning that I just described to you before I went out that kitchen door and walked out and looked at that mountain on my way to my truck, I'd be going, man, you got this Christian thing down. Man, you got this husband thing down. You need to write a book on how to be a husband. You got this praying thing down. You need to write a book on prayer. No, no, no. I'm a piece of work every day of my life. And yes, it'll be Jesus who gets me into heaven, but it is Jesus that gets me into the very presence of God every day that I live. Do you know what we should glory in this morning? I know our number's off, and I know there's sick people and everything else. Let me tell you something. Do you know why the sweet presence of the Lord, Brother John, has touched us today? Jesus, Calvary, the blood. Isaiah wrote it, we are all as an unclean thing. He didn't say we were as an unclean thing. We are as an unclean thing. And we all need to be reminded of that. And Benjamin/Jesus in your life is what gives you access to deity. Look in verse number 16. Please put yourself in this scenario. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, listen, folks, Joseph's got it going on. Who's the ruler of your house? It's one of you or both of you. Joseph said to the ruler, the steward, the guy who was doing his beck and call. He said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home, slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. Forgive me if this offends you. I don't mean to be offensive. When he said slay, they weren't eating a salad. Okay, you picking up what I'm laying down. That weren't Brussels sprouts. The West wasn't won on Caesar salad. Get some protein in your body. Okay, the Bible says pray over it and eat it. Hallelujah. Somebody help me right there. Slay and eat. Slay and eat. Yeah, yum is right, okay? And everybody's going, preacher, do you know what time it is? It's lunchtime, and you preaching about eating. He said, slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And I know what went through every carnal Baptist head in this auditorium. Do you know how far past noon we are? Okay, you came to the 11:30 service. So you stay for the duration. I promise y'all get somewhere. Passport to deity. You ready for the next one? Palace and a dinner. Y'all ain't getting this. If I was, y'all be running and I'd have to calm you down to preach. Let me tell you something. How were they treated in 42? Spies. Criminals. Questioned. Wary eye. Who? What? Do what? No, you lie. You're spies. You came to see the famine in the land. That's why you're here. That's how they were treated in 42. 43, they're going, bring them to my palace, slay and eat. What's the difference in 42 and 43? One difference, Miss Tammy. Hallelujah. One difference. Benjamin, I once was an outcast, stranger on earth, sinner by choice and an alien by birth. But I've been adopted. My name's written down. I'm an heir to a mansion, a robe, and a crown. Somebody say amen. You got it good. You got it good in Jesus. You're not his stepchildren. You're not out in the slave's quarters. You're not down in the dungeon. You're not on the lower level of the ark with the unclean animals. You are getting palace and a dinner, and it's because of one reason. It's because of Benjamin. You say, well, he thought Judah had changed his ways. He wasn't impressed with Judah. He wasn't impressed with any of them, but he saw Benjamin and he said, all of you get this, but it's all because of him. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. Palace and a dinner, all because of Benjamin. Let me tell you something. If you've had a trial this week, say amen. Wow, that's pretty good response. If you've been in a valley this week, say amen. If you fought hell by the acre this week, say amen. Y'all follow me? Y'all getting this? Man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You've had battles this week. Let me tell you something. You're doing 10,000 times better than you ever did when you were lost and out in the world. The worst day. A lady at my home church, she's with the Lord now. A lady at my home church, when I was about to say grew up, but I was already a young adult by the time she came. She'd stand up so often and she'd say, "My worst day as a Christian is 10 million times better than the best day I ever had out in the world." And I am here to tell you, one day you're treated like a spy and a criminal and a convict, and the next day you're treated like royalty and you're brought into the palace for a meal, a fresh cooked meal with the king, and it's all because of Benjamin, who is really a picture of Jesus in your life. Look in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I will come unto him and will say it, sup with him and he with me." What is that talking about? Fellowship. Fellowship. I learned this 15 years ago when we had a little hot dog and deli restaurant for a few years in our life. And I learned something. There is nothing you'll ever do that creates any tighter bonds with people than to eat with them. It's intimate. When you break, we call it break bread together. When you do that with somebody, you're equal. You're connecting with those people. You're bonding with them. That's why it made those Pharisees mad when Jesus ate with publicans and sinners. They're like, good. No, that's not our crowd. Jesus says, it looks like my crowd. And what's going on in this chapter, in chapter number 43, he has swung wide the door and they are supping with him. They are equal with him. Why? I know they sat at different tables. That was a cultural thing that was going on that I don't have time to deal with today. But they had fellowship with him, but it wasn't because of anything they did. It was all because of Benjamin. And all because of Benjamin, all because of Jesus in your life, you have access to the Father. Go back to Genesis 43 quickly. Look in verses, Genesis 43, look in verses 22 and 23. I did not read all of chapter 42 last week. I did not read the entire chapter, but they brought money for the corn that they wanted to buy. When they got ready to leave, Joseph told the steward, he said, put their money back in their sacks. We remember that one of them found it on the way home, and then when they all got home, they realized everybody was there. So when they start making plans for this trip, he said, take all that money back. I'm about to preach a message on being honest in your business dealings. He said, put all that money back and take money for the new corn we want to buy. Okay? So they took double. And he said, take that back and give it to them and pay for it. Now let's see what goes down here. Look in verse 22. And these are the men talking to the steward. Oh man, this is so good. And other money have we brought down, and other money. They said, we brought back what you didn't take last time. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. Listen to this. These are these conniving, scheming brothers who had an answer for everything. And they are absolutely, I love this, they are dumbfounded at kindness. Conniving, scheming, plotting. Oh, that's right up their alley. Good old-fashioned decency and kindness. They're dumbfounded. Do you ever just like to do nice things to mean people? Is that just me? Oh, some mean, snotty person. Every now and then I'm just kind to them, and because they don't know how to, they're just dumbfounded. They're like, Now, more often than not, I do what goes around comes around. But every now and then I'm spirit-filled, and I like to do something nice for a mean person. Help me. Help me. Y'all saying, I'm not listening to him preach anymore unless he's the first in the altar. And he, the steward, said, peace be to you, fear not. Oh, my word. Where are we? What country are we in? Do they worship God? The answer is no. They worship many gods. All those plagues, the 10 plagues, that was God making fun of their gods. Flies. They didn't live in the South, or they wouldn't have made a god out of a fly. Okay. Lice. Boil. All that stuff they're worshiping. But look at this. Look at this steward. Look at this steward. Your God and the God of your father have given you treasure in your sack. Somebody please say amen. There's no indication that this guy has turned to Jehovah. But here he is doing his business dealings, and there he's the clerk, okay, the Ebenezer Scrooge. He's the clerk, he's the record keeper, and they walk up and they say, we owe you for the last batch, and we owe you for this batch, and we don't know how our money ended up home with us, please sir. And he said, oh, your God did that for you. Now these guys ain't real close to God. These fellas aren't real close to God, but a foreigner was able to see God working in your life. You ever been somewhere you wasn't supposed to be and somebody talked about your God? A lady talked to us at Brother PJ's brother's funeral a couple of weeks ago. She said, pray for my son. He's far away from God. She said, he don't believe in creation. She said, you wouldn't believe what he's told us he doesn't believe in. And then she said, but we see seeds, Ethan, of God working in his life. And she told us this, and I've thought about it several times. She said, last Sunday we were eating lunch at their house. She said they live way out in the country, and we heard people target practicing out in the woods, out behind us. I like to live in a place where you hear that. Kind of makes me want to wave the Second Amendment around or something. And she said they were shooting their guns. She said, and our son, who has denied everything God's Word says, was sitting at the table and he goes, why are they doing that on Sunday? Why are they doing that on Sunday? If there's no God, if there's no creation, what difference does it make what day I do it on? But some seeds that were sown a long time ago and been prayed over and wet with some tears, they're germinating. And she said, we were real quiet. That's often the best thing to do. Yeah. And just go, God, I think that I see you working in that situation. I got to get to the point, though. He said, your God put that money in your sacks. Now look at that next phrase. Are you back in 23? Look after the colon. You there? I had your money. I had your money. Now, here's the deal. Here's what I'm wanting you to see. The blessings that were paid, there's my P, and delivered, there's my alliteration. The blessings that were paid and delivered. God didn't need their money. And everything you've got, listen to me, every blessing you've got spiritually, you can't pay for. God won't let you. Why? If you know it, sing it with me. Jesus paid it, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. He doesn't want you paying for 1% of it. He don't want you paying for 0.5% of it, because if I had 0.5% to do with my salvation, I'd be strutting. But I had to acknowledge nothing. How many times have I said that this morning? Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Jesus, there's nothing I can do. You've done it all. You paid it all. And here's what they're saying, Miss Sandra. He's saying, we don't need your money. It's already been paid for. You don't owe us any money. Philippians 4:19, go quickly. I want you to see the words on the page. Philippians 4:19. I'm glad Jesus paid it all at salvation. If you are, say amen. Let me tell you something. It didn't stop there, Harold. He didn't just save me, pay my sin debt. That would have been wonderful. That would have been so good. But he didn't stop then. Look at Philippians 4:19. You know it, but you hadn't read it in a while. We have to remind ourselves of this. Look at Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your according to His riches in glory. By what? What gets you into the throne room to get your needs met? Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, Benjamin, that other person God brought into your life. You don't get into the throne room, but because of Benjamin, because of Jesus Christ, you get into the throne room. And they would, you say, Brother Raines, are you sure now in Genesis 43 that that had anything to do with Benjamin? Why did he let them go back the first time? It was on the promise that when you come again, you bring in Benjamin. And the reason we're giving you money back this time is because you brought Benjamin. We're not impressed with you, 10, but when Benjamin shows up, everything changes. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy, when we believe not, He abideth faithful. We have told you about that Calvinist message we heard the other day. In addition to the Calvinism, he said some things that were really, really good. And I'm listening to that good part, and I'm going, absolutely. What he was talking about was evidences of salvation. And I believe there ought to be evidences of salvation. Just like if you walk in here with a baby, we ought to see evidences of life. So you have every reason to expect to see evidences of salvation in me. But Brother Raines, what I failed to miss, I was looking for something good. Okay? It was like being in the barnyard and shoveling. Somebody help me. But I was looking. And that's the optimist in me. Okay, I'll let you know which side of the family that came from. And Josh, he had had enough. He ain't blood kin, but he does have some West Virginia roots, so maybe he is blood kin. Thursday, he said, I've been stewing for 2 days. I looked at my wife, Brother Morris. I said, Josh, did you just say you'd been stewing for 2 days? He said, I did. I said, that sounds a whole lot like my daddy. He said, well, that's what I've been doing. Been stewing. But he helped me. He helped me with something, Brother Fred. I was looking for so much good, I wasn't being as discerning as I needed to be. I don't want you to be a critic, but I do want us to be discerning because there are many false teachers entered into the world. And Josh said, Brother Doug, sometimes he calls me Brother Doug, sometimes he calls me Dad. And he said, all those evidences were really works. He said, I like those evidences and I'm glad they're in my life. He said, but some mornings I wake up and none of them are real obvious. I'm just saying, your assurance better not come from you. Your assurance, and that was what my son-in-law, he said, I like assurance of salvation, I like fruits of salvation, I like evidence of salvation. He said, but I'm not looking to myself for evidence of salvation, I'm looking to Jesus and what He's done in my life. And that's exactly what you've got going on in this chapter. There's nothing good in these men, but they're receiving a whole lot of good. Why? Because of Benjamin. And I am here to tell you, when you believe not, when you fail, when you stumble, when you struggle, there is a faithful God in heaven who loves you anyway because of Jesus. Yes, you say, preacher, I wouldn't say that. I'd keep them wondering just a little bit. No. I don't want anybody wandering just a little bit. I want you walking in bold, confident assurance that Jesus has me in His hands. My name is written in His hands. My assurance comes from Jesus, not because what kind of good Christian I am. Is everybody, I'm going to stay there till we're, you put your confidence in because you've been such a good, faithful Christian. And one of these days, God's going to let you land belly up. And you're going to go, my confidence has been in the wrong thing. You say, Brother Raines, that's going to make people want to live carnal, careless lives. Knowing that my hope is in Jesus makes me want to be the best Christian I could possibly be. Makes me want to give Him my all. Look back in verse number 23b. Please don't miss this. Is it safe to say, church, that these brothers, their daddy, his harem, is it safe to call this a dysfunctional family? Absolutely. Textbook case. Exhibit A, Your Honor. It's a mess. Look what happened when Benjamin shows up. I had your money, period. End of sentence. And he brought out unto them. Why was Simeon restored to his brothers? Don't miss this. Because Benjamin's there. If they're not back with Benjamin, Simeon doesn't get out of jail. Nobody here but us. I'm almost done. How many of you are praying about a family matter? I see heads. Would you raise your hand? If you're praying about a family matter, it's nobody's business but you what it is. That's the majority of the church, preacher. It's the majority of the church, Harold. Family matters. They weigh heavy on us. If yours is at peace right now, thank God. If yours is unified right now, thank God. Because let me tell you something. The thief cometh not before to steal, kill, and destroy, and he'll stop at nothing. But when Benjamin shows up, Simeon is restored to his brothers. Restoration and reconciliation are only possible when there's a right relationship with Benjamin in your life. The right relationship with that Jesus figure in your life. And let me tell you something. If the devil can distract me with a family matter and keep my eyes off of Jesus, that's as good as he wants it. Put your eyes on Jesus and watch God time after time after time restore that Simeon back into your home. Y'all with me? Get your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes on that Benjamin, that Jesus figure that God has brought into your life. Verse 33, 43, 33. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. I'm not reading between the lines. Preacher, this is in here. If I stood the five Gazaway boys up, I'd honestly have to think before I spoke to make sure I put five that I've watched from their youth. I'd have to think twice to make sure I got them right. Five that I'm with all the time. Joseph, these brothers that he has, other than the previous visit, probably several months prior, puts 11 brothers in perfect order from oldest to youngest. Why? Because Benjamin's there. When you've got Jesus in your life, he orders everything where it's exactly supposed to be. If I have a chain and it's all jumbled, and that chain represents my finances, my family, my health, my church, my relationship with extended family. If that chain represents that and it's all jumbled up mess, I can work on my finances, can I not, and get them straightened. If I focus on that, can I straighten them out? Absolutely. But what's going to happen with my other relationships? Jumbled up mess. Oh, I'm not being the daddy I'm supposed to be. I'm gonna spend more. I'm gonna honor my wife. I'm gonna spend more time with the children. Oh, I got that in order. Oh. Y'all ever done that? Can't tell you how many people I've talked to. They'll focus on something, Ethan, and get it straightened out and mess up three other things. There's one way to straighten out the chain of your life. One way. One. Seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Grab that first link of the chain, which is your relationship with. What do we do with God? Walk. Walk with Him. We read it in the first service. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, but walk with Jesus. What's happening to my chain? Unraveling. All those kinks out of it. All that jumbled up mess is straightened out. Why? Because I'm walking with Jesus. 20+ years of separation. And Joseph said, you go here. You go here. You go here. You go here. Unless anybody's thinking that's not a big deal, the brothers thought it was amazing. And if you will let God be the first and foremost and centerpiece of your life, you can never overestimate the clarity and the order He will give to your life. I am telling you, church, about a family that has been a mess for 30, 40, 50 years. And in one meal, I'm not over exaggerating, in one meal, Joseph puts it back in order. You read the rest of the book. Read chapter 50. They were never the same. They were never the same. And they're also the foundational truth of the nation of Israel. And we know what their significance. Miss Tammy, it changed in one meal. He put them in order. And they're looking. And you say, Brother Raines, they're still a bunch of scoundrels. Well, I think God's working on them. Let me show you. So number, if you're taking notes, properly designed order. Not today. If you've ever in your life needed your life put back in order, ever, if it's today or if it was 10 years ago, if you've ever needed your life put in order, say amen. That's everybody. See, and when it's you, the devil tells you it's only you. We don't know what you're dealing with today. You look good. You clean up well. But we don't know what you're dealing with down here. We don't know what you're dealing with. We've all sat in a service and looked like the cat's meow. And nobody in that auditorium knew what we were dealing with. Knew the mess we were in. Sandra, you don't look much different physically, outwardly, than you did the first time you walked in here. You've testified 100 times or more what He's done inside. So don't assume just because we look clean that we got it all together. But I am here to tell you something. When God puts it in order, He does a fantastic job. And it'll stay that way if we'll continue listening to Him. Properly designed order. But I can't leave this one and I'm done. 34. And He took and sent messages unto them from before Him. Benjamin's mess, 5 times so much as any of theirs. Why did they sell Joseph into slavery? Jealousy. Because he was daddy's favorite. What kind of test did God bring into their life to show they were truly changed? Elevated one above the others. Look at that last line. Somebody ought to run. Woo! Do what PJ did a while ago. Look at the last line. And they drank and were merry. Does that sound like the same 11 men, 10 men? He changed them. I got to help you. I got to help me. I'm too old to change. I should have done some math. Those older brothers, they're getting on up there. You're not too old to change. You're not too young to change. You ain't been living this life too long to change. You haven't been hurt so badly you can't change. Bless the Lord. He ordered their life. And then immediately thereafter, test time, 5 times. 5 times more what all the rest of them got. And they were like, there's a reason for that. Bless you, Benjamin. And they were merry. Why'd He put that in there, Miss Kim? Why'd He put that in there? He said, their heart changed. How many of you need a heart change? If you need one, ask God for it. Use your pew. Use these altars. Get along with God. We don't have to stay in the mess we're in. He changes people. He changes stuff that you've dealt with for 40 years. He changes things that your relations have dealt with for generations. He can make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. And why? Thank you, Lord. Because of Benjamin. A beautiful, amazing picture of Jesus Christ in Genesis chapter 43.